On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast back on the road, back screaming into our microphones and driving Greg Abernathy crazy. We are at Redskins Park, and before I introduce everybody, you see it on your screen.
Findlay Baum.
Got some news last night that the organization, let's be real about this, the organization was linked to the Antonio Brown trade talks for a while. So the fact that they're still looking at possible trades for a wide receiver, they've got to upgrade at that position, and I've been told by a few different people that trades are still on the table, not just looking at free agent options. And I want to welcome everybody in. I want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Pete, what should they do?
They should just go buy a car from Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. It's that simple. Buy two.
Pete Daly, Mitch Fisher, a very, very warm thank you and welcome to Fred Smoot for joining us.
Oh, most definitely, JP. I'm here to welcome another 21. You know, the 21 was handed down to Dion, to me, then Sean Taylor. And now we just signed one from the Giants.
Well, before we go anywhere then, you think he's going to wear 21
here? No, right. Most definitely not. No, he can wear 36. Right. He's also wore 27, so
how do you feel about 27?
Hey, put him in 27. Right. I'm just excited with what he brings to the table. Not only is he going to help in the run game, he's also one of those guys, he's not a box safety. No. He can play anywhere. Now, I'm fascinated to see how we're going to use him, though.
And we're going
to
dig into all of that. Obviously, Fred Smoot is here, and we're out at Ashburn. What is a beautiful day.
Oh, yeah, we can't ask for much more than this.
Today is Landon Collins' press conference, and we're going to be covering that live right here on the My Teams app. We're going to be out in Ashburn all day, I think.
Yeah.
Now, we're in various stages of dress because some are going back to Bethesda, some are staying out here, but Fred still looks the best. I think
he's like
Fred
the opposite of top button, Mitch. He's like middle button Fred.
That's a lot of top button Fred's letting hang out.
Oh, yeah, just a little chest hair. That's all.
Yeah. But whenever you have that watch on your wrist, it's worth more than my car. I think you're good. Let's circle back, though, before we dig in to Landon Collins and everything else that's going on out here today. We're going to have Mike Jones. We're going to have Josh Norris. We got a packed show for you, as usual. Let's talk about the wide receivers. Is anybody against a trade to get more talent in the wide receiver group for this team?
We got to get a weapon. And he don't have to have 100 catches, but he needs to draw the defense. We have nobody that draws double teams. That allows team to play us honestly and evenly. We need somebody to go out here. And that's why I was really happy about them chasing Antonio Brown. He changes the game plan for any defense. If that guy's on the field, we have to have two people to him. That's allowing everybody, the Jordan Reeds of the world and everybody else, to go beat one-on-one.
And you know they're being aggressive and trying to go win.
Right.
Yeah. Bruce Allen, and let's be real, Bruce Allen is very good at talking without saying much.
Yeah.
But I would argue maybe the most important thing I heard from Bruce all offseason was when we talked to him in Indianapolis at the scouting combine, and he said, we need to add more great players. That's what we're looking to do. Going after AB is adding a great player.
Yeah.
Adding Landon Collins, whether or not you think the price is too much, is adding a great player. And I think if they are still in the hunt for more great players, that's okay. I want to turn to my guy, Paranoid Pete.
Right.
What are you nervous about in this news?
You heard me talk about the show yesterday, how wide receivers are the biggest need on this team, in my opinion. So I'm all for it. I'm interested. Who would that guy be, and who would the Redskins trade to get him? But I'm okay with this. When I saw your tweet last night, I smiled, I went to bed, and I was like, JP dropping news, I'm excited to see if this develops, and hopefully they can get somebody.
Well, and let's talk about kind of the biggest name out there, because I want to be clear. I tweeted that last night while I was sleeping on the floor in my daughter's room because she was throwing
great
up.
Night. Great job.
She was throwing up everywhere. It was really a good night of sleep, let me tell you.
That's the real breaking news.
I wrote a story on my phone with the brightness turned all the way down so I didn't wake my daughter up and get puked on.
I wish you worked harder, JP. I really did.
But everyone assumes that the conversation's around A.J. Green.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important to point out the Bengals have made no indication that they're willing to trade him. He is going into the last year of his deal. You've got to think he's looking for an extension. The wide receiver market, especially at that top tier, is being reset right now. Between the money Antonio Brown got, we'll see what happens with Odell Beckham talking about he wants a good deal in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Julio, Michael Thomas, you got a lot of guys that need to get paid. So it is possible A.J. Green's looking for a new deal. Cincinnati has new coach, new leadership. Maybe they're not looking to be
able to win right away.
31-year-old
Jay Gruden has the connection to A.J. Green, of course, from their old days.
Let's not exaggerate that too much. Jay Gruden has been coaching here in D.C. longer than he coached A.J. Green in Cincinnati.
Okay. Yeah. So it's knowledge.
They know each other.
They certainly know each other. And Green had his best years when Jay was driving that offense.
Yeah.
Do you think, and we're going to start with the big man, do you think the Skins have enough to go get A.J. Green? And will the Bengals give him up?
It's going to take a lot to get him, and I don't know if that's draft capital. If the Bengals are trying to get younger, I don't know that that the trade works out, because I think the Redskins need to keep the draft capital they have and not give it up right away.
Oh my gosh, Fred,
no draft capital. I'm giving up no draft pick, but
my man.
Antonio Brown got traded for a third and a fifth round pick.
I
you wouldn't give that up for AJ Green.
Yes, I would.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not what it's going to take.
Antonio Brown got traded for
third. We are in that mode right now. Right now, they're starting to trade players for players again. Jarrell Peppers just went for OJ.
With their first round pick.
So you can't put Josh Norman in a pick together for AJ Green?
Maybe.
Salary's matching everything.
I'm not discounting that.
All right. The Antonio Brown worked
for first. You wouldn't give up late round picks for AJ Green.
Absolutely. When I say draft capital, we're talking first three rounds.
I think you give up 15, but you have an extra third.
But the reason that AB went for a third and a fifth is because they had to restructure that contract, and he would only negotiate with certain teams.
Sure.
So they got in a tough situation.
And it was a known divorce. They had a lot to
but
do with it.
The AJ Green situation, you're going to have to renegotiate that deal. Nobody's trading for him with 1 year left on a contract. I wouldn't think.
Do you think? You don't think AB's contract looks different than AJ Green's?
Yes, but
that's a lot more money for AB.
I don't know how much more though, dude. I mean, what's the difference from Earl Thomas to Landon Collins' deal? It's not a wide delta.
It's not. But you got to understand, if you can get a number one like AJ Green, it's nothing you don't do. But I don't want to give up my draft capital because I want to get a front office right now four thumbs up for the things they're doing.
So you like the move so far? Landon Collins.
Yeah. I love the Landon Collins move. Then you're not even thinking about the other young picks we got. Reuben Foster is sitting right there. He's a first rounder. We're practically going to have 3 to 4 first rounders this year. Darius Geis is going to be another first rounder.
Yep, yep.
Reuben Foster is going to be a first rounder. We got guys that the league has not even seen yet.
What do you think this defense looks like up the middle now with Reuben Foster at linebacker and then Collins behind him?
Well, I think you got three layers of dominance. I think the front clears it up for everybody.
Sure.
Now Reuben Foster's going to be able to run sideline to sideline with the guards not getting up on him. And now you're talking about having a guy like Landon Collins in the back. It changes
everything.
You're
about to say London Fletcher.
I was about to say London Fletcher. I played a lot of
time. I'm just excited about it.
I wish London was still playing.
You brought up trading Josh Norman for A.J. Green.
Yeah.
Are you worried at all what would happen at corner if they got rid of Josh Norman? Because they're pretty young behind him.
How are your legs?
Here we go. Here goes my plan. I always got a plan.
Give me the plan.
Now, because Montez Sweat has boosted up
to
top
10,
you're not getting him at 15, but I can get Greedy Williams.
Greedy Williams,
I can get Greedy Williams, 6'2½", long. He's the new type corner. He's what you need. He's young, and you're going to have him on what, a 5-year contract?
Four years.
So I'm going that direction. Now my whole defense is young.
Yeah.
And you got to look at what Philadelphia's doing. They're the toast of the division. But they're an older group of guys. If you want to do it, you got to do it now with a young infusion. And that's why I want a draft day trade. I want Josh Rosen. And I think that's still
in
play.
Would you rather have Josh Rosen than maybe a Daniel Jones, Drew Locke?
Yes.
Both of them, huh?
What
about Haskins?
Lower floor. We don't have a chance to get him.
Would you trade up for it?
No, I wouldn't trade
up.
I'm staying at 15, and I'm trying to get Josh Rosen.
What if you only need to get to 10 or 12? I'm not advocating for trading up into the top 5.
Yeah.
Because I think the only guy you do that for is Kyler, and I think Kyler's gone at number 1.
I don't trade up. I only trade back. That's a rule of thumb.
But that's what every GM says. And then sure enough, every year, GM's
somebody's got
to get quarterbacks.
I promise you, between the Cardinals – and the Giants, those two quarterbacks are gone off the board. So if you're not going to go above them, you're not going to get these guys. Josh Rosen, in my eyes, if he was coming out in this draft, he might be the first quarterback taken. He has that type of skill.
I like this guy.
So at the end of
the day, over Kyler?
Yes, and yes. I can get him.
Yes.
Think about this. What if the plan was to get Case Keenum, who's already been in the Arizona's offense in college, just as a trade block to get Josh Rosen.
Yeah, no, the Cardinals just signed somebody. Who remembers?
Oh, Brett Hundley.
Yeah.
They just signed Brett Hundley. So.
Yeah.
Nobody's scared.
Are you going into the season with Brett Hundley and Kyler?
I'm not. But let's go back to the wideouts real quick. So if you look at what's available on the free agent market, where the Skins have been active, certainly signing Landon Collins, bringing back Adrian Peterson. There's not a top-tier guy. I think Golden Tate can play, but he's not a clear outside guy. He doesn't have the size.
He's a catch-and-run guy.
But Jay Gruden and Doug Williams talked about needing a big guy, a flanker type.
Yeah.
I don't know. Your options are either small guys that are good or big guys that are unproven.
No, they're big guys that are slow because you're talking about the Kevin Benjamins of the world.
Right.
You can go in that direction. He's a red zone threat. And the one thing we haven't had around
here. Bojangles threat.
What we haven't had around here is what I call a jump ball guy that can also catch bad passes. Like when you get a Plexico Burris
type. That's supposed to be Josh Doctson.
No, Josh Doctson is not a big body. Josh Doctson is a jump ball guy.
Right.
But he's not what you call a body mismatch. Like I understand if I'm a 6 feet corner and they got a 6'5 wide receiver out here, we get in the red zone, they gonna give him one chance to out jump me, basketball me, block me out. Josh Doctson is not that guy.
Okay. They tried anyway, but yeah, it hasn't really worked out. Michael Crabtree's your guy, JP. Is he a big body but still kind of proven enough for you?
One guy I'm kind of getting interested in is Chris Hogan.
Why not Demaryius Thomas? If you think it's over with for him?
Coming off an Achilles? I think it's tough coming off an Achilles. He's, 33 now or something?
I don't know.
31?
Not Achilles,
31. I mean, he's getting up there a little bit to be coming back.
I just think if you knew the injury situation, it'd be different.
Yeah.
But he also, Denver traded him to Houston, and you thought maybe it could pop there.
Yeah.
He had a good quarterback, good offensive system.
Mitchell.
Nice blow right there. I understand. It happens, man.
Here's where I'm at with the wideouts that are available. I don't think they're going to spend the money that's needed for Tate. If you look at the money Jarvis Landry got last year, and just the money that John Brown, Jamison Crowder, those guys got this year, I think Tate's going to cost some cash.
Yeah.
I think you're talking $10-11 million a year.
I don't think those guys are worth it.
Right.
I think you
examine the trade market. I don't believe A.J. Green will be traded. That's what folks that know the situation out in Cincy have told me. We'll ask Mike Jones about that when we bring him on in a few minutes. But that doesn't mean there aren't other good possibilities out there.
I think they're shopping the other receiver, though, Joe Ross.
Yeah, John Ross.
Mitch loves him.
I loved him coming out of college.
My guy.
I loved him coming out of college, but he has the same problem that Santana had. When you have a guy that legitimately that fast, they're going to pull hamstrings. What you need to get with him is get him around a medical staff that teaches him how to take care of his body. But I still think he's capable of being a number one. I just think he needs a fresh start somewhere.
Isn't there overlap with what they signed Paul Richardson to be?
I understand, but
two small burners.
But we got Richardson because he's never played a full season, and he still haven't played a full season.
Right.
So you don't know what you're going to get with him. Luckily, we still owe him for two more years, one more year? So at the end of the day, it's something you could get from under if you can get a guy like John Ross, who was just a first-round pick.
Ross, what are you paying for? That's a fifth, right?
Yes. You're not giving up anything.
A Ross for Doxon straight-up kind of deal?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I wouldn't do that. I don't like Doxon a whole lot, but I'm not.
And also, Jay.
Because then you have no big guy.
Right, that's what Jay and Doug are talking about, needing a blocking receiver.
JP, Doxon's not big.
He's tall.
In the world of wide receivers, he's not what we call legitimately a big guy.
He doesn't play big.
So is A.J. Brown, the receiver out of Ole Miss, do you consider him a big receiver?
I think he plays big.
I think he plays like Anquan Boldin.
Nobody was tougher than.
Yeah.
Listen, check him.
He played through a broken face.
And he will break your face. That's the whole thing about it. See, it's different between wide receivers with what I call running back and defensive mentalities. That's what Anquan was. That's what I think A.J. Brown can be.
So I think that's maybe even getting more at the crux of what I believe Gruden and Doug Williams have said this offseason. And honestly, what I think we've all seen watching them, they need a tough guy possession receiver. Mm-hmm. If they have third and six, they need somebody that's going to get 8 yards, the hit from the safety. Mm-hmm. Is that what you think the need is?
They need a younger Pierre Garçon.
You've been banging the wide receiver.
Yeah,
drum.
The guy I like out of college is N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, who plays like an Anquan Boldin type, Dez Bryant type, who even if he's got a guy on his back, he's going to snatch the ball out of the air. So if you're going to draft somebody at 15, I like that type of guy who may not burn you for 25, 30 yards, but can get you 12 and 15 repeatedly. So that's one of my favorite draft prospects is him.
I know you're a Bulldog, so you might not like the Rebels as much. Hey. But what's your take on DK Metcalf?
No, first of all, Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, took over the combine.
Don't tell me how much you love
And that's all I'm going to say. The state of Mississippi, I love DK Metcalf. Played against his father. Played with his uncle, Eric Metcalf. Comes from a bloodline. And he's a specimen.
Any concern, though, about the quickness? Obviously, the straight line
with
speed
tall
is there.
Guys, they're not going to be quick. If I want quick, I go Deebo Samuels. All right?
I like Deebo a lot.
I go to Iowa State with Hakeem, I think he's going to be one of the ones that's going to be drafted a little later, second day pick, a third day pick, that's going to turn out to have what I call a rookie of the year type campaign.
When we talk to Josh Norris, he is very high on Hakeem. Let's make sure we circle back to that.
Does it worry you that DK only had 35 catches last year?
No, because he had three other receivers on his team, and two of them probably go in the first round. So he was sharing the ball.
But he's going to go in the first round, too.
That's what I'm saying. He was sharing the ball with a quarterback that wasn't all that accurate anyway.
All right, let's go to Mike Jones, USA Today, covered the Skins for the Washington Post for a number of years. Jonesy, let me know when you're there. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Jonesy, what's
Mitch
up, buddy?
Sharpen that jacket there, Mitch.
What can I say? I try every once in a while.
Showing everybody Mike,
do you miss being out in Ashburn, dude? You could have driven over.
You know, now looking at seeing you guys out there, I do feel a little nostalgic there. I feel like, you know, I should be right there with you guys.
It's a nice day in Ashburn, which in the fall we don't get all that many of. Let's dig in with something I'm sure you know plenty about. Also, the Redskins know they have to upgrade their talent at wide receiver. They've been talking they were having very baseline conversations towards the Antonio Brown situation. I know they're still looking at possible trades for other wide receivers. Let's start with, do you think there's any truth to the A.J. Green possibly being traded? Rumors that are starting to kind of just become a Twitter thing. You never know when something becomes a Twitter thing to a real thing.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how realistic it is. Obviously, he's a guy that has ties to Gruden because of their time in Cincinnati, so it makes sense. But how much are they going to have to give up for him? And, you know, they've got a lot of needs that they want to continue to build this thing with young talent, build it through the draft. And so, obviously, if you're going to trade for somebody, you're going to have to give up. You know, obviously, it's most likely going to be picks, you know, but... You know, when you look at the free agency, there's still some guys out there. Is Golden Tate a guy that could help you? Or you go into the draft where there are some talented kids. But either way, we know they absolutely have to get a wide receiver because Jameson Crowder's gone. Maurice Harris doesn't look like they're bringing him back. He's going to go visit New England today. Yep. Josh Doctson can't stay healthy. And isn't a consistent game you know, he's not a game-changing talent. He's not consistently on the field. So they've got to get somebody for sure.
If, and obviously it's a big if, A.J. Green does become available, what do you think it takes to get him? Are we talking like an A.B. deal? Are we talking like Josh Norman in a pick? What do you think it would take to get a guy like that?
I mean, I don't think it would be Antonio Brown type of – I mean, look, the Cowboys gave up a first-round
pick. He's only got 1 year left on that deal.
Right. The Cowboys gave up a first-round pick for Amari Cooper, and we kind of thought that was like, ooh, that's kind of a lot. Then, you know, the Steelers only got a third and a fifth for A.B., that's not bad at all. You know, I mean, that's almost a steal. And then you look at what the Browns had to give up. Everybody talks about, you know, the Giants, but the Browns gave up a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and a very good safety. So, you know, if the Redskins could get away with giving up a third-round pick for A.J. Green, that's a really, really good you know, I think that's an affordable deal. For somebody like that, because he's not quite on those other guys' level,
agree.
For sure.
Completely agree. Fred's over here saying you can't give up draft capital.
I don't want to give up draft capital right now, Mike Jones, because like you said, I want to build my team organically through the draft. So if I want to trade for A.J. Green, do you think it could be like we did a person-for-person swap before? I think it was the Champ Bailey, Clint Portis deal.
And they added a pick in there.
Added a pick in there.
Yeah,
so why
you
kind
of wish you hadn't done that.
Well, you know, hey, he was not running, mate. You know, they told my heart out when they did that. But at the end of the day, could you go Josh Norman or maybe a Jordan Reed for an A.J. Green?
I mean, Josh Norman, then that means you're going to have to draft somebody. You're going to have to get a really talented cornerback to go there in that spot. Jordan Reed, a guy who really great talent, can't stay healthy on the field. Is that something that they would part with? I guess that's not too bad. But a third-round pick for a proven, established wide receiver isn't bad. But again, there's some wide receivers in the draft. Ideally, they hold on to all their picks. They hold on to Josh Norman. They hold on to Jordan Reed. And they draft somebody, and they put that young kid with the veterans. But again, I don't know if they just – they need more than just one wide receiver.
Mike, before Smoot has a heart attack talking about trading draft picks for players and this and that, I don't want him. We have a long show ahead. I don't want Fred to tire out too early. Let's talk about Landon Collins. Now that the dust has settled, we're here on Landon Collins Day. What do you think about his contract and his fit with the Redskins?
You know, everybody was saying that's a whole lot of money to give up. But I mean, when I look at it, I don't look at the whole $84 million. That's, you know, that is to look nice. I look at the guaranteed money, the $45 million guaranteed. That right there over 6 years isn't bad at all. I think that, you know, Pierre Garçon's deal, I think he had $41 million guaranteed in his. You know, I'm thinking about some bigger deals that they've done in the past. I think that that's pretty decent because they've needed a safety. They've used Band-Aids on safeties ever since Laron Landry. You know, they haven't drafted anybody high. They haven't made any big free agent signings. You know, Tanner Jackson, Deshaun Golston, Medua Williams. I mean, Ryan Clark when he was older. There's a whole long list of guys that they've plugged in. You know, Duke Iheanacho, right. There you go. Deron Johnson, you know, it goes on
David
and on.
Bruton.
Yeah, hey.
Trent Robinson.
Trent Robinson. I think my buddy GP wrote something. It's like 29 guys have lined up at safety the last 4 years.
Hey, Mike, you got to give me credit. That was me, not JP. Come on, man.
He said
GP. Grant Paulson wrote something like that, too.
Well, GP
my
needs
bad.
To give me credit, then. I got,
he wrote it first, and then Grant wrote it better.
I got beef with the whole media.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
As our guy Pete said, 29-something guys. But they've got to make an investment. They finally made an investment here. And so I think that this is a guy that is a good tone setter. He wants to be here. Everybody loves that he grew up idolizing Sean Taylor. And so that defense has needed a game changer on the back end, and hopefully he can be that guy.
Mike, what'd you think of the AP deal? I think it was something that really makes sense for both parties. But, you know, you're on the national scale. Was there a lot of interest for him had he really gone out and started taking visits and doing the whole free agency scene?
I don't think that there was a whole lot. I mean, he's a guy who's kind of getting up there in age. Probably, I think he probably meant more to the Redskins, more valuable to them than elsewhere because he's been here. They know him, and he knows that they value him. And you look, they've got young guy, Darius Geis, but he's coming off of surgery. You got Chris Thompson, but he's, you know, a third down guy, struggles to stay on the field sometimes. So the Redskins needed AP, and I think that that's why he wanted to be here. It'll be interesting to see that three-headed attack there, how it works out with all of them.
As you know, I'm a big guy. I love my big men. We got a helicopter flying overhead. You know all about this.
We have a helicopter. I'm just wondering if it's landing here.
Brandon Scherff. We talked about Brandon Scherff a little bit and needing to re-sign him. How important is it for the Redskins to get it done? And what's that timeline going to look like, you think?
You know, when we look in the past, when they've done extensions, it's either been kind of late spring or it's been right before training camp. So that's definitely a guy that they value, and they know that they don't want to let, you know, hit free agency next year. That's a guy that they'll get taken care of. Again, later this spring, right before training camp, that's when Jordan Reed had signed his late in the spring. Ryan Kerrigan signed his. Trent Williams, you know, all these guys get their deals done right around that time. Yep. And so I think that's the same thing that will happen for Brandon Scherff. But they just got to get a left guard to go opposite him.
I know.
Hey, Mike Jones, I call myself the draft guru. I was right on John Allen. I was right on Deron Payne. Where do you see us going at 15? Because now that I think a couple edge rushers have thrust themselves into the top 10, I think it's a big chance that we go Greedy Williams with that pick. Matter of fact, I'm praying that we go Greedy Williams with that pick.
Well, you know, I don't know because Case Keenum's just a bridge. You need a quarterback.
Quarterback. You know? Oh, come on, Jones. It ain't but two in the draft. It's two in the draft. Drew Luck looks like he could be okay. Other than that, please, no.
Well, what are you going
to
do?
Fred really wants him to take Daniel Jones.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a draft day trade. I'm going to take Case Keenum back to his old college coach, and I'm going to get Josh Rosen from the Cardinals, whatever it takes.
Look at that face. Come on, look at that.
Hey, think about this. Alex Smith, all right, the money he's making. You got Josh Rosen on a rookie deal. It all works itself out, and he could eventually be a franchise quarterback.
Hey, but look, Case Keenum, you didn't really have to give up anything to get him. You swapped a sixth and a seventh. You're paying him $3.5 million. Keep him and draft a quarterback. I'm not really a Josh Rosen fan. I mean, he's got skill and everything, but personality-wise, I've heard some stuff about him. I think he rubbed the locker room wrong.
Don't care about personality, just output.
Your favorite quarterback was Jeff George.
Hey, my favorite person was Jeff George. I love Jeff George.
Yo, okay, Jonesy's face throughout this segment is
incredible. Incredible.
A lot of eye rolls.
So, wait, Jonesy, who's your guy at 15 quick? You got to go QB at 15. Who's the guy?
I would consider Locke right there.
If Locke's there, I think.
What if Locke's gone?
If he's gone,
you still go Daniel Jones?
You look at the possibly, or again, look at the best edge rusher that's out there for you. I think that if it's not Jones or if it's not Locke, those are the only two guys that I probably would consider at 15. Otherwise, I'm going defense because you got to get somebody coming off the edge there or place Preston Smith.
Clayton Thorson, third round.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop bringing up Clayton Thorson.
Legitimately, nobody's heard of that dude.
If they didn't win in college, they won't win in the league. That's a problem.
Mike, thank you very much, man. We appreciate your time. Mike Jones, USAT, what's the Twitter now? I got to keep up with it.
It's by Mike Jones. We don't have to change it every time I go somewhere else. By Mike Jones.
Much smarter that way.
Smart play.
I feel like all of our listeners and viewers are probably already following
already.
You, but whoever isn't, go follow Mike Jones on Twitter. He's got great information all the time. Jonesy, thanks again, man.
Go enjoy some time at the beach.
See you guys. Missed you guys.
All right. Talk to you later. Will you stop with Clayton Thornton?
You want it on
third round?
Yeah.
He's not going. He's a Saturday pick.
No. He might be a free agent.
Is Clayton Thornton a left guard secretly? You talk about him like he's a
big quarterback. He's a big quarterback.
Yeah. You got your version. I got the truth.
All right.
I have an issue.
All right. Talk to me, JP.
I have heard a lot of smart people, and we'll talk to Josh Norris, who does the Senior Bowl and the Combine and knows that draft world through and through. Mm-hmm. That the kid from Washington might be the best corner on the board instead of
Murphy.
Murphy might be the better.
I love him because he reminds me of me.
All right.
He's slender. He's fast. He's quick out of the breaks. He fires the ball. He's a gamer. He's a yapper.
He reminds me of a yapper.
He sounds like somebody I know.
Well, when you're a talker, that means you're emotionally attached to the game. And that's what you want to draft. You want to draft guys not this good at football, that love football. And I think that's what we've been missing lately. You draft, I don't like the combine. I don't like what I call the t-shirt and bra contest. I don't like that. At the end of the day, show me what the
bras?
Yeah, that's what it is.
You're watching a different combine than me.
No, it's a fashion. It's a
that's
fashion.
That's the lingerie league.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Is there a runway and some music?
I want to see them play football.
Sure.
Show me a football player. Show me somebody that love what they do, and I'll show you somebody being in the league.
So why do you? So you said all that about Byron. What do you like more about Greedy that you want him at 15?
Let me tell you what I've heard is that Byron will mix it up physically and he'll take on tackles and be in run support. And Greedy doesn't have a heck of a lot of interest.
Well, what he has is a long wingspan. When you have a long wingspan, that takes away two routes. It takes away quick slants because you can jam, and it takes away fade route because now they got to throw it with a different trajectory. That's why Richard Sherman always picks out fade route because he has a long wingspan, and that's what I like about Greedy Williams. And I think he can eventually be a true, true lockdown corner in this league. Wow. I just think his ceiling is so high.
For me, I think it makes – I'm not against corner at 15 for sure because I think there will be a run on quarterbacks early like there almost always is.
Always.
And the strength of the pass rushers, those guys will go early. So if you're able to get what should be a top 10 pick at 15, you go with it.
We talked to J.I. yesterday saying how next year Josh Norman's contract might be too much with Landon, so maybe succession planning. Get your next corner.
I think Norman stays on this team this year. Because I think without him, you're looking at Moreau and Dunbar and
Stroman. You got to ask yourself, who had the better year out of the corners last year? Before Dunny went down, Dunny was basically the lead dog.
Norman had a good year, though, man.
He did.
Seven turnovers.
He had a good year for what? Not for a top 10 corner, top 20 corner. He's the highest paid corner in the league. He's supposed to be taking half of the field away, and now we're making excuses because you're going to say he had a good year? When we played,
I think he's certainly a top 20 corner.
All right, but he making enough money.
I get that.
All right, so now if I tell you I can name 10 more corners in the league that you'll rank ahead of him, do that look like a good deal to you?
Nope. But we've learned, especially in this building, the way the market doesn't always reflect the player's ability. I mean, think about the Kirk Cousins saga for a long time. Sometimes it depends on when you hit the market.
Well, one position we've got right over time here is the cornerback position.
Sure.
We've drafted it very well.
If you must say so yourself. I got you.
Corners and tackles, it skins
do
well.
We can find those positions. So I hate when we go window shop and get the shiny new thing. At the end of the day, some stuff you just grow organically. You grow it on the farm. I want it farm right.
Farm to table.
So talk about from the farm. What are we going to get from Quentin Dunbar this year? We don't know how that leg
is. Have you talked to Dunny at all?
I ran
to Dunny. He's doing well.
He's able to run. He's not having pain.
He's not having any pain. And I just think he's going to get better and better and better. What he needs is plays. He needs rep. And I think he eventually will be one of those cornerstone. So thinking about having two cornerstone corners, if you get a Greedy Williams out by Murphy, plus that D-line, youth, and you have a young safety and young linebackers, we will be dominant. The time is going to come. Like Sam Cook said it. The time is going to come.
Nothing makes you better than good big guys up front.
Yeah.
Defensively.
No,
right?
That's everything. Certainly. That's everything. You build a team from the inside out. Like if they make my job easy as a defensive back. Quarterbacks don't make mistakes in this league looking you in the face. They make mistakes when they're uncomfortable. And the best defenses, the Philadelphia Eagles, they D-line, run the table. Makes it easy for the linebackers and the defense.
So, Brian Mitchell's supposed to not be here, but I think he just snuck into Fred there because that's exactly what Beavis has been saying all offseason.
Well, real quick,
build it from the inside out.
Yeah. How much stock do you put into what Norman does with those young corners after practice and in the film room and all those extra reps that he does with those guys? Is that part of being the number one dude and being a leader?
That's what being the head dog is.
So, isn't that why you want to keep him around a little bit, especially if you go get a young corner
right now? My team is being led by the trenches. It's being led by Trent and John Allen and Deron Payne. That's to go to cornerstone right there. That's who you want leading it if it's not going to be a quarterback.
How big of a need for you, then, is that left guard spot? It's been a hole for a long time now.
It's always going to be one position on a great line that's going to be a rotational spot. You're not going to really lock it down.
Allocate that much money along the
offense. They're already allocating a lot there.
We're allocating a lot of money to tight ends. We're allocating a lot of money. And then what we got to ask for the tight end position, too, is we got to have a dual threat there. We got to have somebody, when they put their hand in the dirt, it's a threat that they can run the ball behind them, and we can also send them out for a pass. That's what I don't like about our tight ends is the fact that I'm a defensive player. When they line up on my side, I know automatically they're running to the other side, so I'm going to give a run call to the other side. They're not running behind them. They become a liability.
It's interesting. I mean, based on that, would you be interested in those Iowa tight ends?
I love those Iowa tight ends. One reminds me of Gronkowski.
Right.
And Noah Fant reminds me of Gonzalez.
Like they play it all.
Yeah, these guys, they will be there at 15. I just don't see us taking one. Not having Reed on the roster. I just don't.
Two personnel guys tell me that the best free agent signing so far is the Ravens getting Nick Boyle back before he ever hit the market.
They got, four tight ends?
They always have tight ends.
They draft for what they're developing up there, the run first.
Absolutely.
The quarterback's going to run.
That's why I was thinking they was going to make a real run at Le'Veon Bell, because they made all the sense in the world with them going to be run heavy, especially with Lamar Jackson. That takes a lot.
Getting Mark Ingram, though, is a pretty nice consolation prize. I mean, they're worst guys.
Under the deal they got him for, it was a steal.
What was that, 4 for $14?
That's not bad. That's a steal.
Yeah.
Why don't we make it official real quick? The Skins' big splash move of the offseason. Landon Collins has put ink to paper.
Ooh.
Contract is signed. Yes. This is a done deal, an official deal.
You want to talk about juicy.
You want to talk about crying.
Them tears of joy. On a day like this, you signing that big check like
that.
What's your
biggest contract probably came in Minnesota. What was that feeling like?
It's a game changer.
Celebrate on the lake, huh?
Of course I did. It's one of those games that you always dream about. You always dream about it, and it's the one that you close your eye for a second and you open them up and realize that you're pretty much set for life.
At what point in your life, and not that you and Landon are the same dude, but you're from Mississippi, he's from Louisiana.
Same dude.
Right, you're secondary guys. At what point in your life do you start realizing, like, whoa, I could be a pro football player.
I think you,
is it high school? Is it college?
Hey, well, I tell you, all great defensive backs, we do three things. We lie, we cheat, and we steal. Are sinners, all right? We lie to ourselves all the time. So I'm 8 years old, like, yeah, I'm going to the league. Like, you have to feel that way by any means necessary. When I say we cheat, we'll do anything in the game to get a leg up on you. And stealing is what we get paid for.
Of course.
Stealing the ball, taking the ball back. We get joy from that. So I think when you're young, and I had a lot of competition in Mississippi, man. I had, like, pros everywhere around me. Deuce sure. right down the street. You know, I had guys everywhere. So once I knew I could play with them, I feel like I played with
Lie,
anybody.
Lie, cheat, and steal. I want that on a T-shirt, and I want to sell that from the podcast.
I also want everyone to know that it's not only defensive backs that do that. There are plenty of people out there that
are lie, cheat, and steal, and it's their job. It's like being a cat burglar, all right? I'm not going out to some cheat. I got to go out to fine art. I got to go out to the best. So
you
that's
the biggest
Peyton Manning ball. That's a Tom Brady ball. That's what
the
I want
to Lisa right there.
Yeah. 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 All right, let's bring in Josh Norris from Roto World. Norris, we run into Norris at Mobile and Indy every year, although I don't know if I saw you in Indianapolis this year. Am I crazy?
JP, they chained me to my desk here at NBC Sports, so I'm not allowed to go to Indianapolis.
All right, well, you know what you missed. Couple overrated steaks, a couple bottles of wine, and for you, you're watching the three cone drills the entire time anyway.
Yeah, no, I care about athletic testing that week, and it's something that, you know, in the last 3 to 4 years has, I think, improved my process, both, you know, making me more comfortable with prospects expected to go early in the draft, and then also trying to find those late round gems that fall through the cracks in the NFL.
So let's start there, because one of the things I always do when I'm looking at even in my research of guys I think that they could target, guys that I think make sense, and guys even to avoid, is I like to go back and read the player profiles from the combine. So I'm wondering what your file looks like on Landon Collins. This is Landon Collins Day out here in Ashburn. So I wonder what your notes tell you about the player he is on the field.
Now? Well, Landon Collins is someone that... to me, succeeds in the box, closer to the line of scrimmage. Now, I'm not saying he's stuck there, but what Landon Collins last year played about 50% of his snaps exactly as a box safety. We know that he can play near the line of scrimmage as well. Maybe that's why, and I guess it makes sense why the Giants let him go in that regard, even though they just traded for a safety in Jabril Peppers, which is some kind of dark humor who succeeds in the same situation. But he is a straightforward missile who in some ways plays like Jamal Adams, albeit a bit older, but he's an absolute force in that area of the field, and he's an asset for any defense, even if you have to pay him like the top safety in the NFL.
And we're going to go around the horn here, but the Skins had so much trouble stopping the run, especially in the second half of last season. I mean, Collins can make a huge impact in that area as well, right? Everybody thinks about the pass game, but a safety that is a sure tackler like Landon, I think, could make a big impact, Norris.
Oh, for sure. And Zach Brown is not on the team anymore, correct? Like, and so there are some questions at that linebacker spot. Guess what? You have a safety who wins in that exact manner. Plus, if you can't create pass rushing opportunities and win in one-on-one situations, you have one of the best blitzing safeties as well. Use them in a variety of alignments. It's the perfect situation for a defense that might want to be more multiple fronts, create, you know, pressure based on scheme rather than just individual talent. Again, there's an area of where he wins, and that's tough to find consistently at the safety position.
I also think he does a great job one-on-one with tight ends, which we haven't been good at stopping tight ends over the last decade here. And I think
Zach
he does
Ertz
a great job
lunch
of,
money.
Of taking it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
JP,
he Landon Collins actually played, I think, the same amount of snaps in the slot as he did at free safety last year. So I'm totally with you guys that he might be equally as proficient in both those areas, and again, 59% in the box as well. So a play, and as you all know, like, tight ends that can be mismatch opportunities in the slot are difficult to find defenders that can match up against those. Guess what? You guys have locked that down now.
There you go.
He's a guy that Giants talk about was so vocal and so in charge of the defense back there. The Redskins had so much trouble with those crossing routes. How much do you see a guy like Landon being able to help kind of set the defense and get them in the right spots and be able to kind of handle those situations they struggle so much with?
Yeah, look, I think JP and everyone else at that table is closer to the Redskins than I am. But I think that that type of player is always needed. It's always necessary, especially with how young they are. I mean, Ryan Kerrigan is obviously a veteran and probably one of the more underrated players in the entire NFL. But having someone in that back half or in the middle of the field that can make everyone get in the correct position, obviously. Now, that's not part of the game that I necessarily know about, especially when it comes to team-to-team situations. But I guarantee you that Washington did their homework in that situation. And the Giants certainly needed that with Landon Collins last year.
Josh, we got Fred Smoot here. He's very persuasive, and he's kind of talking me into guys like Byron Murphy and Greedy Williams at 15 for the Redskins. Do you see a scenario unfolding where corner makes sense for them, or should they be looking more at receiver, edge rusher, those kind of spots?
Look, I think a major part of the NFL draft is not necessarily filling needs immediately, like your 2019 needs, but also looking towards the 2020 needs, right? And so with Josh Norman, if you cut him after this season, he saves you $12.5 million in 2020, right? A major part of the draft that is overlooked, and I guess more often than not gets termed best player available when it really is a need in not the immediate future, but the near future, that could be one. Replace a declining, overpriced talent. And I'm not saying Josh Norman is a bad player at all. I'm just saying that he's not on the right side of 30 years old. So it would make sense.
It's okay
in that
to
situation.
Say he's okay.
Fred's been saying it for a half hour.
It's okay to say he's only okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We're here to tell the truth. Now, me, myself, when I look at the draft and I look at where we at 15, like he said, we either got to go corner or we got to go pass rusher. Montez Sweat is a guy that jumped off the page from Mississippi State.
Morris is an athletic testing guy. He's going to love Montez.
And you know me, I personally think the combine is overrated. I only did the bench press one time.
Did you?
I only did the bridge press one time.
Hey, it's one more time than JP can do.
And I told him you didn't come here for a bodybuilder. You came here for a football player. Watch me run. But I want to know who snuck out to you in their film matches what they did at the combine.
Totally. And first, let me take a big picture look here at the edge rushing position, right? Because to me, why athletic testing matters is because in football, much of it is an athletic game, right? And there are very few one-on-one matchups on an NFL field. One of the true ones is an edge rusher against an offensive tackle. So in its simplest form, wouldn't an athletic advantage, an athletic leg up, be a significant advantage? For sure. Now, the point there to make is if a player in college won with athleticism and then he goes on to test like a tremendous athlete, i.e. Montez Sweat, who tested in the 97th percentile, meaning, Mr. Smoot, that he is more athletic than 97% of edge rushers entering the NFL, that means that, hey, his game in college is going to translate to the NFL. I'm not going to say that he's the most flexible edge rusher who can bend and turn the corner like a Von Miller, right? But he has a wide array of moves in terms of really you have to have two, right? In terms of getting up the field in 2 to 3 steps and then getting and getting to the spot ahead of an offensive tackle, or he uses a long arm as power and keeping that offensive tackle off balance. And that's what he has. And he can win based solely on that in the NFL.
The two positions offensively, I think the Skins, we have to discuss, is one is QBs. So I'm curious where your QB board is right now, and include Josh Rosen in there, because I have a funny feeling that Rosen will be available whether or not he lands here in Ashburn or elsewhere. I think Kyler Murray's going one.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Josh.
I am too. Look, I'm not going to say that in every single situation when Josh Rosen was given time in the pocket last year that he succeeded, right? Some of the mistakes were on him as well, but those were few and far between because that offensive line was just absolute garbage that he played behind last year.
The worst.
Yeah. And Josh Rosen isn't one of these players that has mobility. A lot of the young quarterbacks that you see in the NFL now, when it breaks structure, the play, they are able to create on their own, right? He can't do that. But I will tell you that in a team that has a very, very good offensive line, what you see is what you get from Josh Rosen, right? He's going to hit his back foot. He's going to do his best to recognize the open receiver and deliver the football with accuracy and timing. In many cases, and it seems like this is the case in Washington, that's exactly what you hope for from the quarterback
position.
Right,
that's what Jay Gruden
wants.
Yeah. So totally. Where would you have Rosen in this group?
Yeah, that's why in this draft.
Yeah.
He's my type of quarterback because I think that I can picture a path to success for him, right? Much easier than some of these other quarterbacks you guys are going to think this is crazy, I'd put him at the top of the list in this quarterback room.
Top of the
my
list
guy.
Over Kyler?
Wow.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
guy.
Hey,
that's
totally
where I
you.
Am too.
His ceiling is Matt
exactly.
Ryan. He reminds me of Matt Ryan.
If ceiling
you tell
is the
me,
roof.
If you tell me I'm going to get Matt Ryan, I'm going to say thank you.
Yeah, please. Give me Kyler, dude.
I really like Kyler. I love Kyler. And all this stuff about the height is overblown, right? Like, he has the same issues that a 6'7" quarterback would have, right? And it's vision. Yeah. Now, it's not vision seeing over his offensive line. It's vision recognizing who the open receiver is going to be and getting the football to them. Again, it's the same type of issue that a quarterback who's a full foot taller could have. I do think that Kyler has this tendency to rely on his running ability, rely on his mobility, because there are times when he could take an extra beat in the pocket where there's plenty of space afforded to him and he takes off. Now, that play could easily be a 7-yard gain and he's very good at avoiding hard contact, but he might turn down a play that goes down for a 17-yard gain. I love Kyler Murray. I think he's a fantastic prospect, but from what you see is what you get. Easy projection if you have a good offensive line, which Washington does when they have a healthy offensive line. I think Josh Rosen's the player that they want.
Well, then, we can go quick on these. Haskins, Locke, Jones. For a lot of people, it seems like Jones has even maybe fallen out of the first round. You and I talked about Locke, I think, in Mobile.
Yeah.
I've learned more about Locke and have started to like his game, especially when I got to speak with him.
Okay.
Where are you on those guys?
He's Jeff George.
That's your guy, though.
He's Jeff George.
I can kind of see that. I can. And to me, my bias, and I think we all have to be honest with our biases when it comes to evaluations,
sure.
right?
Sure.
I am super fearful of quarterbacks that see ghosts in the pocket, that when there is disruption and especially interior pressure, they go crazy. That's Drew Locke. I don't think you can really fix a quarterback from, let's say, the waist down in terms of their feet, their balance, their poise. And Drew Locke, while there are many situations where he had to try to carry that Missouri offense, there are many situations where, oh my gosh, if you look at his top 20 throws, it's absolutely amazing. There are 20 awful, awful decisions that cripple your team. Turnovers cannot happen. Sacks for losses of 10 yards cannot happen. And to me, Drew Locke had too many of those awful decisions at Missouri throughout his career.
Why is nobody talking about Jackson from Buffalo? Is he too tall for the position?
That's
at
a big dude.
But he not a lot of accuracy.
But he tested well. He has a very strong arm.
He's very raw. Huh? He's very raw.
So he's a New England Patriot. That's what you're telling me.
No. So I know that Josh Allen got a ton of love out of Wyoming last year. I think this is kind of a discount version of Josh Allen in some situations. And this isn't nice to say, but I do think that too often we spend too much time on the second, third, and fourth tier quarterbacks. There are very few times in the last 5-10 years that those quarterbacks go on to start. Sure, Kirk Cousins is one, Dak Prescott is one, Russell Wilson is one. But in terms
Tom
of a
Brady, most famous one.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about the last 10 years, right?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
I think the NFL has gotten better at evaluating that position since the 2011 draft, even. When you had your Christian Ponders, your Jake Lockers, your Blaine Gabberts.
That was terrible. That was bad.
Barf.
Right. And so if you're going to have a quality starting quarterback on your team, almost certainly they are drafted in round one. I don't want to say that Tyree Jackson's not going to have a career in the NFL, but I'm just not going to spend a ton of time on it, to be perfectly honest.
So quickly, not spending a lot of time, is there one guy in the second, third, or fourth tier that you think could be a potential NFL starter?
I thought for sure Mitch was going to ask about
that. That surprised me. Yeah, good job. Mitch. Way to go outside your comfort zone.
Well, okay. If with what I just said, and it
was just
nice.
Said, don't pay attention.
He said, don't spend a lot of time. That's why I said quickly.
But quickly, one guy. Diamond in
but,
the rough.
But if Taylor Heineke and Alex Taney can be backup quarterbacks in the NFL, Easton Stick from North Dakota State can do that as well. This is basically
your guy,
a four-year starter.
I like Easton Stick.
Yeah. Played
any of these
out
receivers
of,
worth taking at 15?
Yes. Hakeem Butler out of Iowa State. This is a 6'5", 225-pound receiver who obviously wins big. But also, if you watch that Iowa game, runs a whip route, creates instant separation, gets low in his breaks, that's tough to find at that position. I know he had a lot of drops, but I think drops stand out a bit too often when we talk about wide receivers.
Does he remind you of Calvin Johnson?
Oh, I don't want to go Norris that answer. Far.
That's a
I don't
want to go that far.
That's a hell of a comparison.
I'm saying body type, the way he comes in and out of his cuts, and the fact that he can actually get out there and run with the best of them.
I will say this. I believe it was your mock draft, Norris, where you have him creeping into the top 10, right?
Well, I do. And look, there was a period where the NFL was chasing those big receivers that are fast, right? Because after your Julio Joneses and after your A.J. Greens. But it led to a lot of misses. It led to your John Baldwins. It led to your Brashad Perrymans. It led to
Williams.
It led to your Kevin Whites, right? Well, then the NFL moved over to winning out in space and winning after the catch, and there's plenty of those. I think this year is when there's the reemergence of your 6 foot two or taller, 220 plus pound wide receivers, because there were seven of them that tested in the 90 plus percentile in terms of athleticism. I mean, you have Akeem Butler, you have DK Metcalf, you have N'Keal Harry. Yeah, it's a really good group of wide receivers this year.
All right, Norris, thank you so much. Everybody go follow him at Josh Norris. Read all of his content at RotoWorld. Plug your podcast real quick, Norris.
Sure, RotoWorld Football Podcast. And by the way, guys, we have Easton Stick on tomorrow, so go and check that out.
Oh,
we'll have to listen.
We'll have to listen. Josh, thank you very much, man. Go enjoy.
See you guys.
You know what Josh likes to do in his free time?
He cooks.
He likes to grill up lamb and watch tape.
That's a football grinder, right? That's why we pick some of the same players. My type of guy.
Fred grills up lamb and watches game tape.
That's what I do.
There we go. Best friends right now.
I like to make butter noodles and watch Office reruns. Is that kind of similar? Or no?
You gotta get down in there. You gotta cook in his food.
This is Pete.
I have a very sad spirit.
Hey, I understand. I'm from Mississippi. I understand. We're taught to do it. We slow cook everything.
He burnt garlic bread.
Yeah.
That's my man.
It was like, set it on fire.
I understand.
Set it on fire.
I was supposed to bake. I accidentally broiled. It was not a good result.
So would that reclassify you as a millennial?
I am a millennial.
There's no reclassifying.
I am.
I'm Generation X.
Right. He Uber eats McDonald's.
Yeah.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Let's talk a little bit about Kyler Murray. We touched on it with Norris there. You are or not on the Kyler train?
I'm realistic.
Sure.
I love him as a player, but it's not realistic that we get him. That's why. Okay.
For the skins.
Now, I can imagine him.
What do you think of his pro day? Did you watch any of that?
I like the zip on his
ball. Yeah, man.
It's effortless. And that's what I like to see from quarterbacks. And, it's not elongated throw, so now I have shorter time to break on the ball. But can you imagine him and Saquon Barkley running RPOs?
I don't know if I want to, honestly.
I'm telling you, like, that can be dangerous. So now you got to say, do I want the pocket passer in Haskins, who I know can cut this wind that's going to be in New York? That's why New York always had taller guys with Cannons, Collins, the rest of those guys that can really zip it. I think Kyler has the strength to do that. But do you see the athleticism that would be with him and Saquon?
That's crazy.
Yeah. That'll be hard to stop on 33.
I'm not sure we know what's going on in New York right now.
Yeah.
I wonder if Gettleman is cleaning up some messes from ownership.
Gettleman stinks. let's just put it out there. Gettleman stinks, and we all know it. At the end of the day, you do not trade a one in a lifetime.
Don't trade Hall of Famers.
You don't trade them.
No matter what, and people make such a big deal about draft capital.
Yeah.
What are the odds of getting a Odell Beckham?
Would you have one? In-house. Yes.
Keep them.
In-house.
Very low. And then they get mad because wide receivers are divas. Divas are wide receivers. Wide receivers are divas.
Yeah, like
that's
know
how
that.
They come. Right. You're only going to get a couple of Reggie Waynes that barely say anything. Right. And Calvin Johnson that go out there and do their job. But you know they usually come divas.
Marvin Harrison was very quiet.
Both of, and they just kept burning you. Right. The whole game.
The whole game. They didn't say anything.
Just looking you in the face saying nothing.
Right. Yeah. It also helps. And I've had this conversation with Tana, and he'll never agree with what I say. But receiver is such a dependent position on having a good quarterback.
You got to have a
quarterback. What is Santana's career like if he gets drafted by the Patriots?
I think he's going to Canton. You at the mercy. All players are at the mercy of the organization that drafts
sure.
you. Like at the end of the day, the reason I never got a Super Bowl is because I played in the dark ages of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Right.
I didn't. Many people get championships in the last two decades because of that. If you're not with the right coach, that will shorten your career guaranteed. It's a lot of great players about to get drafted to the wrong team, and their career is going to be shortened by 3 to 4 to 5 years only because of coach turnover. Eventually, you're going to get a coach that don't like your playing style, and they're going to ship you out.
To that point, that's why I think quarterback at 15 is risky.
Yeah.
Coach turnover, being in the right position, having playmakers around you, we don't really have that in D.C. right now. I don't know that bringing that guy in and having him struggle with not great talent.
With only two quarterbacks, with two of Tagovailoa coming out and Lawrence.
Most important position on the field.
Absolutely.
And if you get a good one, and we can sit here and say we don't think Drew Lock's any good. He's not gonna. But if he does hit, if something does click, and you have him, then all of a sudden your fortunes are turned upside down.
Exactly.
If you have a quarterback, all of a sudden you're in the mix.
What about Rippon? Ain't nobody talking about young Rippon.
Sure. The kid, I like Ryan Finley from NC State. I like Jared Stidham from Auburn. I think there are options later in the draft.
You know what? Certain positions, I can always tell by the name.
Ryan Finley
doesn't sound like a great quarterback.
Well, he doesn't spell it the right way. That's the issue. But I'll say this, too. If we're talking about a third or fourth round guy, I believe they have to draft a young guy just because they need three on the roster and they can't afford to pay somebody else. But if they did decide to just build this team as best as possible through the draft and roll with Case and Colt, I'm not sure they're going to be better or worse than they would be if they add a third or fourth round quarterback.
But you're not stunning the growth of a young quarterback.
That's the worry that I have.
How is it stunted? If you draft a fourth rounder, you can't be expecting him
to
start.
Oh, I'm sorry. If they draft somebody early,
You can get a guy like Rhea Greer in a late round that maybe can pan out to be a starter.
That's another guy I like.
Jared Stidham. This is a guy that can really wing it. He didn't really prove a lot to me at Auburn.
But he's better at Baylor.
I know he can make all the throws.
Right.
All right, so you got to ask yourself, do I want to invest even more money into a younger quarterback? Or do I want to go get a commodity that I can really grow in Josh Rosen? That's why I lean towards Josh Rosen, because the contract fits. They paid him all his guaranteed money. Yeah. We would have him for a little bit of nothing, and he can be a franchise guy.
They can add Josh Rosen, and including Alex Smith's salary, have all four of those guys under contract for less than Kirk Cousins is going to make in 2019.
And thank you. So now you figure out all kinds of problems, and now everything about the Redskins is on the up and up.
Sure.
You got a young defense. You got a young running back that we're just going to get to see for the first time. If you get the right wide receiver out there, now we're talking. Now we're cooking.
Yeah, don't forget they have Tress Way there, too.
Who can always
sling it too,
yeah, man.
He's the best quarterback on the roster.
I want to take Pete's temperature on something, and then I want to balance it off Fred.
Okay.
I have for a while been hammering into Pete that in the NFL now, you talked about the dark ages. In the NFL now, teams are getting aggressive. Teams are making trades. Teams are trading
the NBA
up to get the guys they want.
Yeah.
I think
the Rams really changed a lot of the philosophy. Once Sean McVay got out there with less need, those guys are attacking.
I think it was Philadelphia.
With Carson Wentz, and then when they traded for Jay Ajayi in season.
And they put that team together.
Yep. Right.
And they went one.
They went to go win a trophy.
Yeah.
And I think you see more what the Browns just did.
Yeah.
You see more and more teams are trying that. What the Bears did to go get
Khalil
Mack.
How about we just take a moment and thank Dan Snyder? Because it started with him back in 99 when he was before his time. You know, sometimes they say greatness is before his time.
But then
Dan started. Let me
say this. Is it time for the Redskins to get back into that mold where you're making aggressive moves?
You can only do it if you got the number one position, and that's quarterback. That's when you put your foot on the gas. And you have to do it the Seattle way. You got got to win while he's young. And that's why I'm going to always do
so
the Josh
Bears
Rosen thing.
Going to get Khalil Mack. Is Trubisky good enough to do that?
I think they are with the coaching. See, what Trubisky got right now is a coach who saved his career. All right? A coach who's not going to ask him to do everything. Sure. A coach that's not going to put his weaknesses out there on display for everybody. A defense that bags him up. And that's what it's about. We're putting a defense over here, and eventually we're going to get the quarterback to match.
And a dynamic running game in Buffalo, in Chicago also.
You all got to run the ball. And now we, AP, going to be able to run the ball.
So if we can, we're gonna, I would spin around, but I got too many wires on me.
Oh, you almost tried.
Let's go full circle then.
Yeah. Okay.
If the only way to really compete in this league is with a great quarterback on a rookie deal, how on earth can we sit here and honestly tell one another, don't look at QB at 15?
Because after the first two quarterbacks, the other ones don't matter. They're Jags. They're just guys.
You're saying you want them to win on a rookie deal quarterback, but how about a guy like Case Keenum, who you're basically paying rookie quarterback money?
Fine, but you have him for 1 year.
Yeah.
If this is about a developmental process, about building that defense and building that run game, I'm not sure 1 year of Case Keenum is enough to build that.
I think he's part of a trade. I think Case is going to be used as a trade piece to get what we need. Like, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with Case Keenum. I'm sorry. I'm just going
to
be honest.
You got
to
an NFC title game.
And you didn't win a Super Bowl. That's all that matters.
Do you think the Super Bowl is even a realm of possibility for the Redskins next season? Is it 1 season away? Is it 2 seasons away?
You tell me who's on the center, and I'll tell you, do we got a chance?
If it's Rosen.
Let's say it's Rosen.
Your guy Rosen.
If you think they have a shot?
If it's Rosen, a guy with his mental makeup, and then to be traded after being drafted in the first round, they traded up six picks to get him.
Right.
Then they trade him away.
How angry is that guy?
It's a good angry.
Right,
and it's I got to prove everybody
wrong.
And then, like he said, behind this offensive line with this running game, he just played with the worst offensive line.
David Johnson, who could play, but was completely
missing. They turned him into nothing.
David Johnson. In the middle.
Not at all.
So he had nothing around him and still showed glimpses of I can get this done. You put him here, and I think we can build around him.
All right. This has been fun. Fred, thank you very much.
Oh, anytime,
this has been great. Today, though, is Landon Collins' day. Everybody quickly, we're going to go in there. If you have your My Teams app up, just leave it up.
Just plug in your phone, charge it, and leave it up.
We're back on at 2 o'clock with the full stream of the Landon Collins press conference. What do you want to hear Landon Collins say today? We'll start with you, Pete.
If I was in there, the question I would ask is, Landon, they've had 20-some, 30-some safeties. Why are you the guy to be the safety for the Redskins for the next 5 to 7 to 10 years? What about you will separate you from all the guys who've tried to fix this spot before?
Why so serious? Why so long? All I want to hear him say is thank you and let's get ready to play.
That's
it.
Okay. We've seen guys win the press conference how many times last year? Mark Sanchez, Josh Johnson. Let's get out on the field. Let's see what he's got. I'm excited to see him in the burgundy gold and see what he can do.
I want to see what number he
did. You not like my question? I thought it was an okay question.
It was too long.
You're telling me I'm not too long, Fred.
If I was standing up like and you asked me that question, I'd be like, next.
Oh, I'm glad I wasn't working covering the team when Fred was around. He would have clowned me quite often.
I think he just clowned you right
now. Yeah,
right. It's okay.
Don't take it personal.
It's fine. I don't.
He can't. He gets
podcast.
I wanna know. It happened quick once the legal tampering period opened. It happened quick that the report was out that Collins had signed here.
Yeah.
I want to know, was his process that he wanted to be here?
Yeah.
Or did he take a couple calls? He and his representatives decided that's the best spot
I think he wanted to be here.
It seems like.
He was his destination.
Think about it. It happened.
And you got to love that. You got to love that.
All right. Redskins Talk Podcast, we love you guys. We really appreciate Mike Jones taking the time to talk with us. Josh Norris taking the time to talk with us. Again, Fred Spoot, you're the best, man.
Legit the best.
We could fill hours with you.
Never met a Mike I ain't like.
I know. Except Mike Jones when he told me he wasn't
I disagree with Mike on that one.
All right, 2 o'clock, Landon Collins right here on the My Teams app. We are back tomorrow at noon to wrap up free agency week. It's been a lot of fun. You made it this far. Fred Smoot owes you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.